Hey, thank you for listening in to Risky Benefits, a podcast that informs you on all things benefits. We've got a saying around here, benefits isn't your main business, it's ours. Hey everyone, thank you for listening to Risky Benefits and welcome to this week's episode. Our guest today is Mark Isbell, Executive Director for Waterfront Rescue Mission. Today, we're going to learn about Waterfront Rescue Mission, what they do, who they serve, and their community impacts. So without further ado, Mark, thanks for coming in, man. Let's start with you just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. So a little bit of my background. So I was actually a vocational pastor for about 17 years. All throughout the Texas area. So I was a senior pastor and executive pastor and did a stint in youth ministry. And so after we moved to Pensacola, I got connected with Waterfront Rescue Mission. Great mission, great organization, really fell in love with what they did. And so they had an opportunity to open up. And so now I've been on staff here for about 2 years. And I lovingly tell people I'm Waterfront's storyteller. So what I'm doing is I'm really connecting the work that our chaplains are doing, the work that the mission is doing to the community at large.
That's awesome. And I know by you simply saying that you were in youth ministry, that you're probably a super fun individual. I know, like, if you're listening to this and you've seen Dude Perfect, that's Mark was one of those guys. Those guys were just clever enough to like videotape it and get it recorded, but that's pretty much what youth ministers do to help kids have a good time.
That is what led to the loss of hair and the gray beard. And so I quickly learned, like, man, I'm aging out of this fast.
That's awesome. Well, so Mark, if you don't mind, just to frame for the listeners, like maybe in a deeper dive, talk to us more about Waterfront Rescue Mission and like what is the mission of this organization and kind of what are you doing?
Yeah. So Waterfront Mission has been around. Actually, this year we're celebrating 75 years of serving the homeless and addicted community along the Gulf Coast between Alabama and Florida. And so we were founded in 1949 by a local pastor. He saw kind of the cycle that was happening with fishermen at the time is they would go out on boat, they'd work, they'd come in, they'd get paid in cash, and immediately they would blow it. And then they wouldn't have a billet on a fishing boat for a couple of weeks. So they were on the streets. They were just kind of wandering around. And he said, hey, we have to serve this community. You know, fast forward 75 years later, we provided over 2.5 million nights of shelter, about 8 million meals. And right now we're really taking guys that have just been beat down by life, guys that are homeless, that have found themselves in addiction, and we're trying to bring them out of that. You know, since we've been founded, we've been a Christ-based organization, and so we're very proud of that. And so we recognize that through really just loving on these guys, being there for them, sharing the gospel with them, that they are able to transition into a sustainable life.
That's awesome, man. Love to hear it.
Yeah. So you actually just said guys a couple of times. Do you serve males and females or only males?
We do serve women and children through our day services. And so what we do is we kind of have two, let's say, rotations during our day. So during the day from 8 to 3, the missions are open for anybody to come in. They can come in and get a meal, get a shower. We have a clothing closet that's available, so if they need some clothes, we can provide that. So that 8 to 3, we're open for anybody to come in. The other great thing about that is we're a large enough facility that we have community partners that actually come to us. So if there's resources that we can't provide, those community partners can then step in. And that's anything from law services to the VA to medical to mental health. We have those here at the facility. And then at 4 o'clock, we transition into our overnight shelter, and that is for men only here at our facility.
Okay. And do you mind me asking, is there a reason, like I'm not very knowledgeable in the setup or the structure of how one would set a program like this up? Like, is there a reason that they shift that? Is that for safety purposes, or why would they shift to male only in the evenings?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. One, if you look nationally kind of at the homeless population, about 70% are male. So there's a lot larger number of men that are homeless. Okay. And so the other thing that comes across with women is, one, unfortunately, it's very expensive to house women. Security that you're looking at. Also, if you think just from a practical perspective, and I always joke about this, and with men, it's easier to house a larger number in one room than it is with women. Okay. So you literally just need more space for women. And then you also, with women, a lot of times comes children. So that brings in a whole nother layer of difficulty when it comes to housing children. Now, at one point in Waterfront's history, we did actually have a women's recovery program. Because of finances, that was closed in 2016. So it's something that we are actually currently talking about is, hey, what would it take for us to be able to provide that? Because there isn't a lot of women's shelters in this area.
So some of it's based on funding too, and your ability to do, basically you do what you can do with the funding you have.
Correct.
Do you ever run into any issues when it's like, okay, it's 3 o'clock, time to shift? Do you run into anything?
Sometimes we do, you know, and what we do is we spend that time, and luckily we have great community partners. So if we have somebody that comes in that can't stay with us, we're spending that time reaching out and saying, hey, can someone stay here? Where can we get them? And we will transport. And I'll tell you, you know, especially when we have bad weather that comes through. Y'all know the Gulf Coast can be pretty erratic with weather. You can have bad storms come in. And we've had ladies that come in at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you know, in the middle of a storm and say, hey, I have nowhere to go. We let them come in. Because at that point, it's about safety. It's about saving a life. Same when it gets really, really cold. And then what we usually do is we'll bring out a cot. If we can't find a community partner for them to transfer to, is we'll let them actually stay behind our front desk there on the cot. That way it's a secure place where we have a staff member there all night and our security's there. So we'll do what we can to say, okay, let's just get you off the street.
That's awesome.
Okay.
So are you guys essentially, your service area is right there in kind of the panhandle, or does it expand further?
Yeah, we have a mission in Pensacola proper. And then we also have a mission in Mobile. Okay. And so we have those two missions. So our facility in Pensacola, we have about 230 beds. And so about half of that is for overnight guests. The other half is for men that are in some of our more formal programs. And then the Mobile mission is about 60% of that size. So it's a little bit smaller mission, but we were originally founded in Pensacola. Okay.
What are some of the latest initiatives that you guys are working on?
Oh, lots of things. So the biggest thing that we're working on right now is one of the biggest issues within the homeless community is medical care. Especially if you or I get sick to the point where we have to go to the hospital, we go to the hospital, you know, we see the doctor, we get discharged, and we get those discharge instructions for at home. When we go home is really where we recover. We all know that, you know, it's that old joke, oh, I got to get out of the hospital so I can get mm-hmm. better. The problem with the homeless population is, where's home? Right. And they oftentimes get re-released to the street, sometimes even before they're in a healthy enough place to do that. And it's unfortunate because the hospitals are looking at it from the perspective of, hey, we have someone here that's not going to be able to pay. And so sometimes they're discharged really before they should be. And so right now we're working with local hospital agencies here in Pensacola and in Mobile, where we have acquired 27 actual hospital beds. And what we're doing is we're working with them and we're saying, hey, instead of releasing people to the streets, send them to us. We have a facility, we have beds that can set up. And so we're working and putting all that in place. In fact, right now we're doing an MOU with the hospital so that they will actually help fund that, because it's cheaper for them to help fund what we're going to be doing than it is for them to incur the cost of that person staying in the hospital. And so we're hoping that within the next 2 to 3 months, that will be up and running completely. We piloted it for about 18 months just to say, okay, what needs to happen? What does this look like? So right now we're just securing up healthcare providers, just addressing liability issues, but soon we'll be able to provide beds for those patients coming out of the hospital. The other thing that we're doing with that is we've set aside a couple of beds specifically for hospice care. And that's just a dignity thing. You know, you hate for someone to pass away on the street. So it's just to come in and say, hey, if these are your last couple of weeks, at least spend it with us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's intense.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
I know, like, one of the Kyla's going to ask, and I guess for all the listeners out there, you know, if there's any way we can be supportive.
Just how can people help?
Yeah. Lots of different ways. You know, we always say, hey, we love volunteers. Come and just experience. And the thing about volunteers, so when people are here at the mission, they know, hey, we work here. Our chaplains work here. And so there's kind of this innate, of course, you're going to care. But at the same time, you get paid. So when volunteers come in, what it does is for the guys, for the ladies that are here, it says, maybe somebody does actually care about me. Maybe I do have some self-worth. And so that begins to build inside of them when they see people from the community and people from outside coming and actually serving. So that's a huge way. The other thing, you know, we have 7 thrift stores that help support what we're doing as a mission. And those go from Mobile, Alabama to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And so go and shop, donate at our thrift stores, because that goes a long way. And then also to give financially is huge. So people can do that just directly on our website. We love people that partner with us and just say, hey, I'm willing to partner monthly. And so you can do all that on our website.
What are the thrift stores called?
It's just Waterfront Thrift.
Okay.
So we actually have, we have an online store too. So, you know, the thing about thrift stores, you can always go in. It's like, man, what am I going to find? What am I going to find? And so, waterfrontthrift.org is the website where you can find all the locations. But if you go to our online store, a lot of times you'll find some really high quality items. You know, when people donate things, we want to honor that donation like it was a financial donation, because that's our goal, is to turn it into that. So there might be kind of an antique or kind of a collector's item that the price point doesn't make sense in a thrift store.
Yeah.
But it does make sense to sell it as an online vendor. And so there might be some things, like we had this really cool original like 1970s G.I. Joe like Jeep, and it was still in the box.
Wow.
And so that doesn't make sense to try and sell at a thrift store, because somebody's coming in looking for toys, they might expect to pay $4 or $5, mm-hmm. whereas this thing is worth hundreds
right.
of dollars. And so that's actually why we started an online store a couple of years ago.
That's clever. Cool. That's very cool. Most importantly, we want everybody to know who Waterfront Rescue Mission is. Mark, what you guys are doing over there, and to local businesses who are listening, you know, if you've got a team building event and you want to go get together and try to help an organization, reach out to Mark, reach out to us. If you want to get in touch with Mark, Google Waterfront Rescue Mission, look for the Waterfront thrift stores. You know, anything you can do to support, we'd like to encourage it. Love having people who are trying to support and build up our communities. Mark, thank you very much for coming on and just sharing your story and what you guys are doing for our listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to come on.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
Well, I would just kind of like to put in perspective some things we've seen the last couple of years, with the economy, the way it's gone, just homelessness is on the rise everywhere. And so, especially here in the state of Florida, there's been some legislative things that have been happening lately that's going to change the landscape of homelessness. And so it's important for individuals to get involved. I pulled up some numbers just to kind of show y'all where we've been. So last year, you know, at this date, we'd had about 1,200 people come into our mission. And so when you look at it this year, we've already had almost 1,500. So we're seeing 20% increase. The people coming into our day services, we've seen a 32% increase. And so the numbers are are rising quickly. And last year was about a 20% increase over 2022. And so this is kind of one of those things when you pair that with the economy, and really even people's ability to give, we're seeing a huge effect on our ability to serve. And so it's kind of a big need right now for people to really get engaged with their local community. If it's not with Waterfront, you know, a lot of people are placed in, and we're part of a larger national network of rescue missions. We're part of the CityGate network. So I encourage people, hey, if they're not here on the Panhandle, Florida, Alabama, get involved with local organizations that are serving the homeless.
Well, Mark, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And to all of our listeners out there, if you have any questions about today's program, please contact us or look for information on our homepage at www.fbmc.com. And remember, you can find us and subscribe on any podcast app. Thanks and have a great day. Thank you for listening to Risky Benefits. If you're interested in learning more, please visit www.fbmc.com. We hope you'll join us next time on Risky Benefits.